God is good. I thank you, Pastor Wells, for this blessed opportunity to stand behind this sacred desk, to share the word of God on this very special day of celebration and worship. And happy Mother's Day to all who fit the category. Some biological mothers, some stepmothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, foster mothers and adoptive mothers and mothers-in-law and aunties and older sisters and cousins and teachers and mentors and preachers and old ladies. Happy Mother's Day to you. And I honor you today. I continue to thank God for a transforming word and for the work of ministry that you continue to do in this beloved community. The need is great, and I pray that God will continue to bless and even expand your ministry as you bless his people. I thank God that my husband Joe is here sitting in the back, and that our cousin Gloria Meek is also here. And thank God, and my adoptive some kind of daughter, Carmen Bonner, is here. My little friend's daughter, so we all just take her to be ours as well. Grace to you and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for being our God. Thank you for your love that does not change. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus to suffer and die to pay our sin debt. Thank you for your precious Holy Spirit who now lives within us and helps us on this Christian journey. And Father, on this Mother's Day, we pray that you will bless every mother and all who meet the definition of the term because of their love and their work and their faithfulness. And now, God, as this your humble servant proclaims your holy word, please let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. Let us all hear what you're saying to the church and incline our hearts to trust and obey. In the name that is above every name, that name Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 I want to call your attention this morning to the second book of the Bible, the book of Exodus, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. Now I'll be reading from the New International Version of the Bible. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. And then she placed the child in it and put him among the reeds along the bank of the Nile River. This is the word of the Lord. Please pray with me as we use as our title today, a faithful mother. A faithful mother. And although his name does not appear in the portion of scripture that we read, our text presents the introduction to the life of the great Old Testament deliverer and leader, Moses. His father was Amram. His mother's name was Jochebed. Both parents were of the priestly tribe of Levi. Now Moses was the youngest of their three children. His older sister was Miriam. His older brother was Aaron. God used this family in a mighty way to implement God's plans and to fulfill God's promises to his servants Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and to all of God's covenant people. At the time of our text, the Israelites, God's chosen people, are enslaved in Egypt. They lived there many years, but now there was a great problem. Pharaoh thought that was a problem anyway. He said to his people, the Israelites have become far too numerous for us. Come, we must deal shrewdly with them, or they will become even more numerous, and if war breaks out, will join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. So they put slave masters over them to oppress them with forced labor. But the more they oppressed, the more the Jews multiplied and spread. And so the Egyptians came to dread them and worked them ruthlessly. They made their lives bitter with harsh labor in brick and mortar, with all kinds of work in the fields. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, when you are helping the Hebrew women during childbirth, if you see that that baby is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, let her live. The midwives, however, feared God, and they did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. Well, since harsh slavery was not working, infanticide or killing babies was not working, Pharaoh instituted genocide. He gave this order to the people. Every Hebrew boy that has been born, throw him in the Nile, but let every girl live. And he dispatched Egyptians from house to house in the Hebrew community to grab and kill Hebrew boys, trying to stop the reproduction of the Hebrews. But it was during this time that the child later called Moses was conceived. So let's bring the zoom lens of our minds into close and clear focus on Moses' mother, Jochebed. She was a faithful mother. Now, she and her husband were Hebrew slaves. They had to work in the brickyards and labor in the fields. They already had two children, and now they're expecting their third. And they didn't have the technology to throw a gender reveal party. They had to wait and see. Now just imagine how they must have felt during that 9 months. Imagine how they must have felt then when the child was born and the midwife announced quietly, it's a boy. What grief and fear must have overtaken them. The Egyptians were coming to take their baby boy, but Jochebed looked at her son and saw that he was a fine, healthy, anointed child. He must have radiated the call of God on his life. So she just couldn't do it. She just could not allow her son to be thrown into the river. As the little one lay in her lap, Jochebed had faith that he had been sent by God and God would somehow preserve him. Jochebed knew the law of the land. She knew that the Egyptians would keep close watch on male Hebrew newborns. She knew that she was taking a big risk, but she was willing to do whatever it took to save her baby. That's a faithful mother. She thought about the horror of that crocodile-infested river, and she became a planner, a schemer, a fighter, a preserver of life. This faithful mother went to work to devise a survival plan for her child. Nowhere do we read what husband Amram was saying or doing, but he had to be in on that scheme. Somehow they kept the baby from being seen or heard by the Egyptians for 3 months. How they managed to do that remains a mystery. Maybe they put him in a stable and padded the whole area so that the sounds of his cries would not travel. But I believe God had revealed to them that their son would become a man of strong faith, that God would use him mightily, and that he would have a strong finish. The word says that when Jochebed was unable to conceal him any longer, probably because the Egyptians came searching more frequently and somebody might have squealed, she had to do something. God gave her a creative idea. She made a papyrus basket, an ark, She waterproofed it with glue and tar, just as Noah's ark would later be the instrument God used to protect him and his family during the worldwide flood. So this little ark would protect the baby God would use to deliver his people from Egyptian slavery. Jochebed placed the child in the ark and carefully laid it among the tall grasses, which were believed to be protection against crocodiles, along the bank of the Nile River. And Moses' sister Miriam stood at a distance to see what would happen to that baby. So at her usual time, Pharaoh's daughter came to the edge of the Nile River to bathe, and her servant girls were walking with her. Apparently, they knew how to avoid the crocodiles. Pharaoh's daughter saw the basket among the reeds, and she sent her slave to get it. The slave opened it and saw that it was a little baby boy, and he was crying. And Pharaoh's daughter felt sorry for him. She said, "This is one of the Hebrew babies." Even though she knew her father's command, she had compassion on that baby. By God's grace and his divine plan, the princes wanted the child to live. Look at God. Only God. Jochebed was at home praying. Sister Miriam was watching. And seeing Pharaoh's daughter's reaction to the baby, Miriam said, "You want me to get a Hebrew woman to take care of the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes, go. That's a great idea." Miriam went straight home and got her mama. And of course, Jochebed was excited. She immediately went back down by the riverside. And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." What? Jochebed took the baby back to her house and cared for him. And not only was the baby saved, not only was his biological mother able to instill the love of Almighty God into his little spirit with songs and scriptures and love, but she got paid for it. The family was reunited for a season and for God's reason. If the enemy had had his way, the child would have starved to death, but God didn't allow it. Or he would have drowned, but God said no. Or maybe he would have been eaten by the crocodiles, but the Holy Spirit was a fence all around him. And when the child grew older, maybe 3 or 4 years of age, Jochebed was required to take him back to the palace, to Pharaoh's daughter. And he became Pharaoh's daughter's son. And she named him Moses, meaning, "I drew him out of the water." In effect, Moses became Pharaoh's grandson, and he lived in royalty and luxury and extreme wealth. Why did Pharaoh's daughter just happen to bathe right where the basket was floating? Why did the baby just happen to cry? Why did the Egyptian princes have compassion on a Hebrew baby that the father wanted to be killed? Why was Miriam standing nearby? Why did Miriam recommend the child's own mother to be the nursemaid? Why did the princess accept Jochebed? Why was the Hebrew child reared as a prince in the palace of the king of Egypt? Now, these events were not coincidences. They were not by happenstance. They were not lucky breaks. God did it. God did it. These events were all parts of God's providential plan for the Hebrews, for the Egyptians, for Moses, for Jochebed, for Amram, for Miriam and Aaron, and for the church of Jesus Christ, and for the entire world. He was working it out. It is significant that God used 4 women to save the life of Moses: the midwife, Mother Jochebed, Sister Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter, So the devil was tricked by his own weapon. Just at the time when Pharaoh's cruelty reached its lowest point, God's deliverer was born. Pharaoh wound up working on God's side. He gave Moses a far better quality of life than he would have had at his Egyptian house. Pharaoh gave Moses all the riches of the palace and excellent education, while at the same time inadvertently teaching him the inside scoop on the Egyptian life. Moses was trained in politics and law and linguistics and mathematics and astronomy, architecture, music, medicine, and the fine art of diplomacy. The Jew was in the midst. And as he matured, Moses heard or maybe even participated in high-level discussions among Egyptian officials. He heard their plans for destroying his mama and his daddy. In other words, he was being trained by Pharaoh to overthrow Pharaoh and his men. And Pharaoh was paying for it. With this kind of background and his God-given wisdom, it's no wonder Moses came to be highly regarded in Egypt by Pharaoh's officials and by the people. Exodus 11:3. God was preparing Moses to lead God's people out of Egypt. But they didn't know it. In the New Testament book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 24 through 27, we read these words. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. More than likely, Jochebed did not live to see how God would use all three of her children. Moses was 80 years old when God called him to go back to Egypt to tell Pharaoh it was time to let God's people go. God said 430 years of slavery was enough. That sound familiar? Aaron and Moses' spokesman. Aaron was Moses' spokesman for God's deliverance mission. And Miriam led the Hebrew people in praise and worship. Jochebed had been a faithful mother. She was the chief godly influence in their lives for the great task that will accomplish in leading God's people out of Egyptian bondage. In our text, we see the hand of God moving upon the hearts and minds and hands of women and a young girl who had natural motherly affection for a child. And we see God orchestrating a plan of deliverance that he had purposed and designed before the world was. So what can we learn from the midwife, from Jochebed, from Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter? What does it really mean to be a faithful mother? Being a faithful mother really means having faith in God. You can't do this by motherhood. You can't do that by yourself. The midwife and Jochebed listened to the voice of God, and they followed the leading of the Spirit of God and took creative, evasive, unorthodox action, even though they knew that the Egyptians would certainly kill them and the child if they had gotten caught hiding that baby. They proceeded with caution. If they had caught Jochebed carefully placing that basket in the river, it would have been over for her. But she did it anyway. She knew that fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. Proverbs 29:25. She put her trust in God. She let go and let God. And God did not disappoint. Jochebed stands as a reminder to mothers and fathers to never lose faith that God will work in the lives of their children, no matter how it looks. Secondly, being a faithful mother means loving the child. It is the expectant mother's responsibility to provide a safe, secure, clean environment while her baby grows inside her body. Now, this responsibility continues once the child is born. The mother must provide the basic necessities of life, ensuring that the child has a roof over his head, protecting the child from abuse and harm, boosting their mental and emotional development, feeding and clothing and cleaning and nurturing and teaching and training the child in the things of God. Train them up in the way they should go, God says. Being a faithful mother also means planning for the well-being of the child. In many instances, being a faithful mother does not include being a biological mother. So many people other than birth mothers have been and are in the role of mothering children and planning for their futures. Some fathers do it. Some brothers do it. Some stepmothers do it. Grandmothers and great-grandmothers. Some adoptive mothers. Some friends do it. Some preachers have to do it. But God will make a way. Yeah. Won't he do it? Yeah. God will make a way. And Pharaoh's daughter proved to be a faithful mother as well. Jewish literature says she didn't have any natural children, but we see that she had a mother's heart. She was moved by that baby's crying. Her heart went out to that desperate child in spite of her own father's evil decree. Her compassion overrode her race pride and her status. She began to prepare for the future of that Hebrew child. She would deal with her father later. She took the baby into her loving care and reared him into manhood, giving him the very best of everything Egypt had to offer. Now, Miriam was probably only 10 or 12 years old. But she stepped into the loving, protective, provider role of a mother when she recommended to Pharaoh's daughter that a Hebrew woman nurse the child, and then she secured the services of their mother. That was a brilliant move. My sisters and my brothers, a faithful mother is a selfless, loving human being who sacrifices many of her own wants and needs to do whatever is necessary for her child. Faithful motherhood is probably the most difficult, most rewarding job in the world. Think about it. I won't go into all those details, but I'm just talking about carrying somebody 9 months, giving birth, and before that, labor, giving birth, taking care. Only a mother can do that. They're looking for other ways, but they haven't found one yet. God is fully aware of the travails of motherhood. He knows what it takes, and he is with us. Therefore, we know that no matter what our circumstances are, he is with us. God loves us. God still has plans for every mother and for every child. And I know that many mothers are deeply concerned about their children and their grandchildren's salvation. Many mothers are concerned right now about their physical and mental health. We're concerned about our children's safety in the streets, in cars, in school, on their jobs, in the military, in their homes, at college, and even in prison. We're concerned about our children wherever they are, whatever they have done, because we love our children. I want to remind you today that the Word of God says in Philippians 4, verse 6, mothers, do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Hold on to your faith and pray and be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God is able to save them. God does not want any of our children to be lost. God had a providential plan for Moses. Moses was chosen by God before he was formed in his mother's womb. He was born to be the liberator of God's people from the land of Egypt. Later, when Moses reflected on God's triumph over Pharaoh's evil, Moses might have quoted his great-great uncle Joseph. "You intended to harm me, didn't you? But God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives." God uses whomever God wants to use to bring his plans to pass. In our text, God used a slave family, midwife, a king, and a princess. He used Pharaoh's dreams. He used bad weather. He used a famine. He used fear and desperation, hatred and slavery and evil decrees and murder and creativity and wisdom. God used a waterproof basket, a crocodile-infested river, an Egyptian princess. God used a palace. God used riches. God used poverty. God used faith. God used hatred. God used love. God used whatever God wants to use for his people. God brought his children through. And God is no less concerned about you and your children. And God has a plan for every child. He has a plan for every mother. He has a plan for every father. He has a plan for every person. But the question is, do we have the faith to stretch out on God's promise? To believe him, to present our bodies, our minds, and our children to him so that he can direct their paths and our paths. I know that everyone does not have the blessing of a faithful mother, but God is still with you. And I know that some children have suffered and continue to suffer because of the ways their mothers lived. I know. But thank God for his grace. And thank God for another chance. Today is a new day. Today we can make a commitment to be faithful. Whatever the role is that God has placed you in. A faithful mother. You can be a faithful mother. A faithful child. No matter what kind of mother you think you have. You can be faithful. A faithful father. A faithful friend. How about you today? You can't change history, but you can make the future better for your children and yourself. It takes accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. That's what it takes. You can't do it on your own. Some of us have been hurt so deeply, there's no way to let it go except by Christ. It takes deciding to walk by faith and not by sight, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. So today, you have an opportunity to make amends. Today, you can repent of your own sins. Today, you can decide to clean up what you messed up. Today, you can honor your mother in spite of your past relationship with her. Today, you can let it go and move on together in love. Today, no matter what the circumstances, no matter how many pharaohs may rise up against us, no matter how many forces Satan may throw against us, God's plan will come to fruition. It shall be done. It shall be done in the United States of America. It shall be done for God's people. No matter what the circumstances. Do you believe that? God's will and his purpose are going to prevail. Trust that God will intervene in your situation. He will give you the grace and the strength to wait with patience and meaning and joy and peace, even in times like these, when you hate to turn your television on, you hate to pick up your phone because you don't know what might have happened in this nation or in Iran or in Israel or in any part of the world that might affect you and the people that you love. But you know what? We're called to love everybody, even our enemies. We are assured that God will come through. He came through for Jochebed. She was a faithful mother. And he will come through for you. So stand firm in your faith. Faith will get you the victory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. God bless you. Doors of the church are open. There may be someone here.